Hi everyone, I'm Jenna Milley with Screenwriting U, and I'm here today with Andrew Brajalski, who wrote and directed Results, starring Guy Pearce and Colby Smulders.
Hello.
Hey Andrew, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
Great. I just finished watching the movie just last night, and I thought it was so great. I love the drama in it and also the comedy. I really just like the way you balance the tone. How did you get this idea? Where did this project, was this an assignment or was this your idea?
Oh, this is an idea. I mean, you know, in part it came from, I'd done four movies with non-professional actors and felt like I'd, developed my own kind of weird organic way of working on those. But for this one, I did want to sit down and just try to crack this question. How do I write something for professional actors? Because I felt like, you know, even at the very kind of basic level of conceiving it, I had to think about it a little differently. And so it actually started with just sitting down and trying to think, just to get my kind of imagination going, just to think about specific actors who it might be fun to work with. And Kevin Corrigan is somebody who I've been a fan of for 20 years and friendly with for the last few years. And so I thought it'd be great fun to work with him. And Guy was somebody who I'd had a breakfast meeting with a few years earlier about a different project and just found fascinating. So, you know, they were two actors who sprung to mind, and already I was sort of amusing myself just with the idea of putting the two of them together in a movie because it seemed like such an unlikely combination. As odd as it is, it really actually started with specifically thinking about the two of them, which, it's kind of a cockamamie way to approach making this kind of movie, because obviously the chances of actually getting those two guys getting schedules to line up and all the pieces to come together was not necessarily that likely, but we were very fortunate to get away with it.
Well, that's great. So you kind of started with casting in mind. Can you walk me through your process of writing? Do you outline after that? Or, you know, what did you do once you said, okay, I want to write this film and I have these actors in mind? How do you get started?
Well, because it was this kind of oddball organic thing, I was thinking about those two guys. You just throwing ideas at the wall, thinking of, you know, things start to spring to mind, and it's all very kind of, I can make it all sound very, it all feels very, you know, mystical as it's happening. I don't know that it is, it's just this kind of process of association, where images start to turn up and associations start to turn up, and, you know, on some level you're asking yourself, well, why am I interested in these actors, and what is the tone that's coming to mind, and why? And as you keep pushing on those things, I think, you know, some ideas fall away and others stick, and some that you think should be falling away continue to stick, and then keep having to ask yourself why those things are compelling you. But also, I think I figured early on that if I was going to do something, that part of what Guy and Kevin had in common for me, I just found them both fascinating to watch on screen, in part because they both bring a kind of inscrutability with them. They're both hard to read, but, you know, both in ways that are kind of fascinating in their work. And so I figured if I was going to do a movie with two inscrutable guys, I needed a woman between them who could bring a lot of warmth, but also a kind of explosiveness to but that was an element that I was going to need to make the story go. And I didn't have necessarily a specific actor in mind. I couldn't go to, a specific image of a specific person the same way. But again, you know, just kind of following intuitions and trying to put pieces together and try to see how they added up. I didn't do a full-on outline. I had a lot of notes and had a lot of ideas, but it has been a while since I had done something without an outline, really, because I'd my movie Computer Chess, my previous movie, actually, which I just from an outline, we didn't have a full script on that movie, but we did have a pretty thorough outline. And I'd done some kind of assignment writing or pitches for things, but that never necessarily went anywhere, and all those things involve lots and lots of outlining. And so I'd kind of gotten in the habit of outlining, and I wanted to try my hand in a way at going back to trying to write through a first draft of something without a full outline, which had been kind of how I started out in my early movies, and it's an odd balance for this movie, of course, because it is a kind of romantic comedy, and romantic comedies usually are almost the most, in a strange way, like the plottiest movies of all.
Right.
They tend to have such specific sort of Rube Goldberg mechanics to them. And I knew I wanted to, I knew I wanted to kind of dance a little bit in the margins of that genre. So I knew I didn't have to have it quite as rigorous and mechanical as a great big Hollywood romantic comedy, but I did want to feed up some of that energy.
Still
writing in a fairly organic way, right?
Yeah, that's great. It's always good to hear different people's process, because finding a process that works just takes so long. And so I think it's really brave to go, to change it up and see if you could do something that would give you more creativity. I think that's a great note for beginners. But what I wanted to ask you is, how did the CrossFit, just this idea of CrossFit or working out is kind of really in the air right now. Did you choose that on purpose? Because I thought that was a great topic to set it in the world of exercise and CrossFit, and how angry Kobe Smulders' character is. I just loved how she was written, because you don't see that kind of woman written that way. I mean, she's so pretty. Why is she so angry? It's kind of funny.
Right. Sure. That's certainly a kind of person that I know, and that I find really interesting. I don't see on screen that often. Somebody who, has anger not because they're bad people or because they've been abused and need to take it out on somebody else necessarily, but because they're giving so much and are kind of disappointed in what they're getting back. That kind of anger that stems from disappointment, I think, is it's just a character trait that I find fascinating.
Well, she's not getting results, right? She's
exactly, yeah. I mean, that there are these people who are kind of just dynamos, and have realized that the world is not necessarily built to accommodate their particular brand of dynamism. And are a little pissed off about it, And it's great. There's something great about that, because those are people who, in some ways, there's something tragic about it too. But they're people who haven't given up, in a way that anger, in a way, it's like a kind of positive energy that gets maybe twisted and rolled into a negative energy. But in a weird way, I think it comes from a positive place. And I like a lot of those people, although they can be a little intense to hang out with.
it's kind of like Hollywood's filmed with them. It sort of reminded me of
Hollywood, sure.
It just reminds me of the film industry. It's like you almost have to have that kind of attitude to make a movie, because it's just so hard. And it's sort of like working out, you have to do it every day, and you have to have a routine, and you have to stick with it even when you hate it. So I thought it was great. But what were you going to say?
I don't know what I was going to say. But as far as the fitness culture, part of that was, frankly, also came back to this question of, if I'm going to build something for professional actors, I wanted to approach it a little differently than I might something that I was writing for non-professionals. And part of that was, one thing that drives me crazy in movies is seeing very, manicured, beautiful people. I don't like it when the beautiful people are cast as down on their luck schlubs, and I don't buy it. And so I thought, Guy Pearce, Kobe Smulders, I'm not going to pretend that they're not great looking. personal trainers made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, she's so good in it too, and she looks great. But I mean, I thought it was her character was most interesting to me, mm-hmm. for sure.
Great, that's great to hear for sure.
Well, so what was it like on set once you change from writer to director? How's your mindset change? Are you kind of doing both at once, or what's that like?
Most writer directors, I imagine, will tell you that the writer is dead. that's a start. And the director is mostly just trying to, you know, cover up the writer's mistakes. You know, so
really, is that the truth?
Well, that's how I feel. I mean, that's how I feel in every stage, and I feel like in the edit, we're trying to cover up the director's mistakes.
And oh my
that's
god!
Kind of what filmmaking is, in a way, you know, that it's this constant. Revision, just trying to bury all your bad ideas and hope that nobody finds out about them. But that's kind of how it works. And yeah, you know, I mean, the writer's job is very different. And ultimately, it's whoever's standing at the end of that process whose voice matters, because you know, and then the actors have to make it work. So if there's something on the page. No matter how brilliant it is, if between the actor and the director, you can't find a way to make it work, then it's got to go. You got to figure out something better. And you know, 9 times out of 10, you do figure out something better. So it's a great thrill in a way. I mean, in theory, if things go the way they should, then when my job as a director is done, I should look like a better writer than I am, because I should be finding things. With the actors and with the whole crew, with the whole team, that bring the thing to life in a way that just, you know, words on a page, no matter how fun they are to read.
Right. Well,
they're not. We're not here to do a reading. You know, we're here to make a movie.
Did you? How did you break in? You said you've done other films with non-professional actors. What was, you know? How did you break into filmmaking?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever broke in. I think I just kind of hung around. I made my first feature when I was 24. That was, you know, all non-professionals. And obviously a low budget and all that kind of thing. But we, I was very lucky with that one, that it kind of slowly but surely found an audience. You know, I mean, I finished that movie. When I finished that movie, I had no idea. I mean, I remember the day that, and this was back in, you know, kind of the tail end of the days of film, if you remember film.
Right.
And we finished it, and I had a 16mm print of the movie, which was kind of the last, you know, year that might have been something anyone would consider doing for any reason. And I remember holding that print in my hand and thinking, you know, I'd worked for years to get there, and then thinking, oh, what do I do with this? Who's going to see this? I hadn't really, you know, figured that part out or thought it through particularly. And for about 6 months, I, you know, just kind of blindly applied to film festivals and got rejected. But finally, we were able to find a few screenings for it, and the thing did take on kind of unpredictable but wonderful life. And the movie hung around for a few years, and it got a, you know, a little bit of a reputation, and so I just kind of kept going, you know, on that path.
Is that funny ha-ha that you're describing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that's a movie that I finished in 2002. It had a kind of quote-unquote official theatrical release in 2005, so that's a very slow burn life for that movie of taking kind of 3 years to find its way and find its audience, and that was great. Obviously, you know, I wouldn't want to spend 3 years promoting or pushing the same movie now. But I'm glad that film was able to kind of have that long tail lifespan that it did. It's kind of a wonderful, unrepeatable thing. And then, you know, I made three more, which were different, very different movies, but we're all just kind of had this organic homebrew thing about them. And I love working that way, and some part of me, you know, still would fantasize about working that way. Of course, it gets harder and harder to do. I mean, it never made sense financially, you know, there was a time when I was a young man, I was a single man, and I could give my life to that in a way that, of course, it's harder now with two kids and a mortgage and that kind of stuff.
Well,
I always wanted to try my. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, the idea of trying my hand at making something, quote unquote, bigger was, you know, certainly something that I'd always envisioned doing, always wanted to do. I don't think I'd put the kind of, you know, it wasn't my pure goal. I never looked at the early stuff I was doing as, that was never about making a calling card so that I could go do something with more money. But of course, you know, just as a fan of movies, as somebody who's kind of, consumed movies since I was a kid and in love with the medium, I've always wanted to try all sorts of different things, and this is one of them.
Do you have another big feature planned after this, or what's next for you?
There's a lot of things that are in the hopper. I have no idea which of any of them will take. We shall see.
Great. Well, I'd love to talk to you for your next project, and congrats on results. And looking forward to speaking again at some point, I hope.
Me too. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.